If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Warning. On this podcast, we take the cases seriously, but not ourselves.
Although we may attempt to lighten the mood at times.
Our episodes contain graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. They've changed my bread.
What?
They've changed my bread. You know, like you tend to have like your go-to loaf of bread.
I don't.
Okay. Well, I did. It's been my choice of bread for nigh on how many years?
I don't know.
At least 5 or 6 years, surely.
Nah.
It's been a while.
Not that long.
Oh, I'd say.
Because I were having that bread before you.
Were you?
When it were in a blue packet.
You'd have it the odd time. Well, that's what I'm saying. I used to always get Irish Pride. It was in a blue packet. It was the whole grain.
The chewy bread.
I don't like the multigrain now. The whole grain. No, hang on. No, it's the multigrain. I don't like the whole grain. Which
you don't
no,
like whole.
Whole meal. Is that it? I don't like the one where it's all ground up. I like the seeds and stuff in it.
Yeah.
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 Irish Pride, blue packet.
Yeah.
I hope they're listening. They've changed it to a purple packet. Right. So it was the packet where it's like half paper, half plastic. Yeah. Now it's a plastic fucking bag and it's purple. What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
What's going on? The actual bread itself has changed.
Oh yeah, you were saying
no,
that.
No, it's completely different now. So before it was like, I tried to describe to you, you got what I meant. I don't know if the listeners will know what I mean. It was almost chewy.
Yeah.
It's whatever the way the texture is with the seeds, it's kind of slightly chewy.
Yeah.
And when you toast it, it's got that nice kind of bite to it.
Yeah.
It's beautiful it is.
Yeah.
And that's gone to shit. Yeah, now it's just like a bog standard shitty brown bread. Do you know what I mean? It's nothing nice about it.
Well, so I want to get started now.
Okay.
Now you brought bread up.
Okay. On bread, yeah.
So it's Tesco who we do our shopping with. And so you're whinging, but your bread's changed slightly.
Yes.
Which happens.
Not slightly.
It happens over time.
Tremendously.
Products
so.
Fucking change.
Mm.
What they're doing to me is mental warfare.
Okay.
So what they did is, so I walked past the reduced section and they'd got a loaf of Warburton's Tiger Bread.
Now, we don't usually have Warburton's over here.
No. And when I were in UK, all I ate were Warburton's.
Yes, I know. You constantly go on about this Warburton's orange, yeah?
Yeah.
And then
be careful now because you will piss off a lot of fucking Brits if you start slagging that bread.
I'm not going to slag it as such, but this is, I feel like Warburton's orange to a Brit, from what you told me anyway, is the same as Brennan's to the Irish.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's that kind of classic.
Yeah.
Do you remember when there was the storms and everyone was like stockpiling bread?
Yeah.
And there was a woman who made a bikini
yes.
out of the Brennan's bread wrapper. Do you remember
yeah.
that? Yeah.
Yeah.
We are very fond of it. And that's what Warburton's orange is for the Brits.
Yes.
Yes.
But so, we don't have that here, but I did notice, I clapped eyes on this Warburton's Tiger Loaf.
Yes.
And I was like, well, I'm fucking having that. So I got it and it's fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
It's literally like Warburton's orange with tiger crust.
Now it is nice. I did have, I did taste some, I did it myself, a crisp sandwich the other week.
Yeah.
I had some of your bread.
Yeah.
Because mine's shite.
Well, the mental warfare part is, so I said to you, because Megan has the app, she has to have the fucking app for Tesco.
I actually need it because you can only shop at Tesco with a club card now. Otherwise, it's just, you know, it's extortion, right?
Mm.
They never sent me a physical club card. I have to use my phone. Ridiculous. I tried again to get him to send it to me. Yeah. I got on to him and said, where's my fucking club card? Never gave him one.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
Well, so I said to her, I went, just check, but that ain't like a mistake. And that's why it was in the reduce section. And she looked and she went, no, they stock it. Went, like two quid a loaf or something. And I was like, right, well, that's my bread now.
Yeah.
Went the following week, didn't have any. But they've got the shelves there, the labels there, but no loaves. And then, so I ended up having to get some other random bread. The week after that, went back, none on the shelf, but two loaves in the reduce section. I was like, okay, so every time I get it, I'm only getting like 2 or 3 days
to
eat
you.
A fucking loaf.
Yeah.
So then I went today. I'd been to Barber's and I said to you, I'll call at Tesco and get us some bread. Nah, reduced.
Well, actually, that's upset me a bit as well because you said, do you need any bread? And I went, yes, please, grab me a loaf.
And I did.
No, you did, but you got me the same fucking shitty purple package. Remember I said I'm going to try Hovis? See if that one's any better. Because I know
I don't know which Hovis to get you. There's about 10 loaves.
It's in a blue packet.
Right.
Right. Now, I wouldn't be as keen on Hovis either now. That's not my scene. But my dad eats it sometimes, and I know it's pretty similar, I believe, to my old bread.
Well, speaking of Hovis, So one of the times when I went and they didn't have the Warburton's Tiger Loaf, I got this. It's a white packet, Hovis, yes. Soft white.
Yeah.
That is fucking good.
Yeah,
that
sorry,
is good bread.
We also kind of got off, I was going to talk about your Warburton's Orange.
Mm.
Carry on. We went to the UK years ago, and you were like, I'm getting some. I'm going to bring it home. I think you bought 2 loaves to bring home.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's no Brennan's now. But it's okay.
Right.
For any
so I wasn't going to say anything. I was going to be polite.
Okay.
So the Brennan's loaf, the shape, abysmal. Crust, burnt.
It's not burnt.
It is burnt. It's fucking black on the top.
Excuse me, your Warburton's fucking orange is like a bastard skin flap.
What?
Yes. Yeah.
I did warn you.
That well.
The comments will come.
Go on.
The Brits will fucking go mad.
For any of the Americans listening, I assume you probably don't have Warburton's or Brennan's.
Right. Maybe they can get back in the box after I tried that fucking, what was it called?
Yeah, Wonder Bread.
Yeah, Wonder Bread.
It's
yeah, my
sweet.
Ass wondered what had fucking gone into me.
Mm.
Shitting out of a fucking straw.
It's so sugary.
It's cake.
It is.
It's sliced cake.
Yes. Do you know what it was closest to? Now, obviously not as dense, but you know like pound cake?
Yes.
It was kind of like that. Like if you were to make a light pound cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If your main ingredient is sugar,
yeah,
it's not bread.
Wrong. Yeah.
It's not fucking bread.
Yeah. Now, what I was going to say to them is if you're to picture Warburton's, Brennan's is in the same kind of category, but not quite as heavily,
good.
Not quite as heavily processed, I would say.
Mm.
Now, it is very processed, but you know what I'm saying? It's that shitty white bread that's perfect for a crisp sandwich.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Perfect for toast.
Mm.
Yeah.
While we're on the topic of bread, what's the crack with crumpets? Neil's been trying to get me into crumpets. I'd never had them until recently. I don't really see, they're kind of, what I said to Neil is they're kind of like a shite pancake.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, it's not like a pancake, but that was the nearest thing that came to mind.
As soon as you said it, I was looking at which window to throw you through.
But see, you just have them with a bit of butter, right?
Mm.
Not even real butter. It's not even real fucking butter. He has that fucking shite fake spread stuff, right? The other day, so
try it with Lurpak, it's even better.
I'm not eating that shite. Now, the other day, Neil went to the shop and he got a pack of Warburton's crumpets because he could, because they're in the shop now. So he was like, oh, treat myself. And he came into me. I was sat at my desk writing and he goes, I'll just try this. And I went, no. And he goes, no, seriously, try it. And I went, is there real butter in that? And he goes, yes. Took a bite. I went, that's not fucking real butter. He goes, it's Kerrygold. It was the fucking tub spread of Kerrygold.
Yeah. Well, it got reduced.
It's still not real butter. Like the fucking audacity. Now, I have found a way that I like crumpets. I'm pushing the...
The what? Only way is butter.
No. See, to me, that's a bit too plain, right?
Uh-huh.
So I've pushed the boat out a bit. It's like a full-on dessert when I'm having it. Crumpets, real butter, bit of cinnamon, and a bit of maple syrup, like a full-on pudding. Oh, it's beautiful.
No, way too much.
No, it's lovely, I'm telling you.
See, you're talking to a Brit. I'm fucking telling you.
No, I'm not having this for me breakfast. This is like if I'm sat down with a cup of tea and I want something sweet.
Mm.
Oh, it's lovely. I'm telling you. Give it a go.
No.
Oh.
No, that's outrageous. It's blasphemy to the Brits.
So I'm saying it.
So, Sutcliffe done. We're moving on.
We're moving on with our lives. Sorry, just before we continue, can I just say, you can hear, listen to it back, you can hear me draining of energy in the last episode.
Okay.
It's a mixture of things. It had been a long trek, but also the constant back and forth to the show you were watching.
Oh, yeah.
I think I said it.
I don't
want
to refer back to the drama.
I even said, I hate that I'm referring back to it now, but yeah. We're moving on with our lives.
Yeah. So what have you got for us today?
Well, today, Neil, we are going to be talking about the murder of Thomas Millwood.
Okay. Never heard of the chap.
Well, it was the 1800s, so I'm not surprised.
Called Tommy?
Thomas. Well, yeah, Tommy if you want.
Right.
Well, is that unusual for someone to be called Thomas or Tommy in the 1800s?
Thomas is all right, I think. But Tommy? I don't think you'd have a Tommy in 1800s. What are you laughing at? We're 5 minutes in.
It's how dead serious you're saying this, as if there couldn't possibly have been a man named Tommy.
I'm not saying it's like impossible, but I don't think there'd have been a Tommy in 1800s. When were Peaky Blinders?
Isn't that like 1900s?
Okay.
I think. And I didn't really watch the show. I saw bits of it when you were watching it, but yeah. Love Cillian Murphy. He's great, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's overrated.
Fabulous cheekbones.
Mm.
Mm. Anyway, we're not talking about Cillian Murphy and his cheekbones. We're talking about the murder of Thomas Millwood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the night of the 3rd of January, 1804, in Hammersmith, London, 29-year-old customs officer Francis Smith was out roaming the streets with a shotgun following a few drinks in the pub.
Best way to do it.
As you do, yeah. It was just past 11 p.m. when Francis came in contact with a 23-year-old man named Thomas Millwood on Black Lion Lane. The area was dark and shrouded in hedges. Without much thought, Francis made the decision to raise his gun and shoot Thomas in the face.
Case closed. Francis did it.
Oh, you would think. The shot hit the lower left side of Thomas's jaw and exited through the back of his neck. This caused damage to his vertebrae and spinal cord, killing him immediately.
I bet it fucking did.
Well, why? Why did Francis do this? What could have possibly possessed him to not only roam the streets with his gun while intoxicated, but to actually pull the trigger?
Because he was pissed with a shotgun.
There's a bit more to the story than that.
I fucking hope so. We've only just started.
Well, I mean, I think that would be kind of... I don't want to say reason enough, but that will be kind of like, oh, okay, he's pissed up, he's got a gun, he's acting like a prick.
Well, if this happened now, that'd be it, case closed. He was pissed with a shotgun. You can't drink on the job, especially when
you're... On what job?
You said he was walking the grounds.
You're roaming, but he was a customs officer.
Oh. I thought he was like a night watchman or something.
No.
Right.
So, for a bit of backstory as to why Francis did what he did, in November of 1803, the people of Hammersmith, London were a tad bit on edge because of alleged sightings of a ghost.
Right.
Yeah. Those who had claimed to have seen the ghost described it as being very tall and dressed in all white. Some accounts said that the ghost wore a garment made out of calfskin with horns and large glass eyes.
Right. So forget the eyes and the horns and everything.
Yeah.
Why are they always tall?
Yeah.
They're never like, oh, I saw a scary ghost. It was 4 foot.
Yeah. Remember we talked about, what was it called? The Flash Didn't they say it was between 7 and 8 foot tall or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Why do they always have to be tall?
Mm.
It can be scary and be 4 foot.
Yeah. That could
they're
be
always
even worse.
Like 7 foot tall.
Yeah.
Are you sure it's not a shadow?
Some of the little ones are even more aggressive.
It's the little ones you have to watch out for.
And the quiet ones.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, some said that they'd even been attacked by this ghost.
Liars.
Well, yeah. Like the story of a wagon driver who became so frightened by his sighting of the ghost that he abandoned his wagon, horses, and 16 passengers to flee on foot.
They're on drugs. They're hallucinating.
Probably, yes. Another man said that while walking through the graveyard, he had been grabbed by the throat by the ghost.
No, he wasn't.
No. Another story speaks of a pregnant woman who fainted after the ghost appeared from behind a gravestone and grabbed her as she attempted to run away.
No, it didn't.
She was found hours later and was reported to have died from the fright she had received.
They're proper hallucinating then.
It was actually worded as she was taken to bed, and I believe it was something like, "Alas, she never rose again." Yeah. It was said that the ghost would appear at Black Lion Lane at around 1 a.m, marked by the sound of the church bell. The belief among those in the village came to be that this ghost was the spirit of a man who had died by suicide the year previous, and he had took his life by slitting his own throat.
Right, this is the other thing, right? Whenever you watch these ghost hunting shows and shit like that, right? It's never, so the ghost is of a man called Trevor who died of COVID or fucking died of a heart attack.
They lived a nice, long, full life.
Yeah.
And then this happened. Whatever, yeah. Yeah.
It's always, they died by suicide, they were murdered, there was an accident and they fell off a balcony. There's always a story.
And the reason for that is because they want to reason it by saying they had unfinished business or, you know, something along those lines.
Yeah.
But you could be 99, lived a full life, but you die with some secret something you never got around to. You could still have something there and you still die of natural causes.
Yeah.
Load of shite.
But that's why I don't want to like sound dismissive immediately, but when it's like, he said the ghost grabbed him by the throat. No, he didn't.
But this is the thing. Locals were shitting a brick over this and they began to patrol the area. But like you said, I got to be honest, I think there's more than a few Billy bullshitters in this village.
Hang on. So you're telling me that's why Francis was patrolling around with a shotgun? If he thinks it's a ghost, what the fuck does he think a shotgun's going to do?
Exactly. Exactly.
Math ain't maffing.
I'm right there with you, Neil. You know my opinions on ghosts. Mm. Never mind this fucking gobshite.
Mm.
So, like I mentioned, like Neil's just brought up, Francis was roaming the streets with a shotgun, but not completely without warrant. He was part of the patrol, okay?
Mm.
He's not just doing this off his own back for the crack as such.
One more drink and it'd have been on his back.
Those who were out on patrol, they did have a password of sorts. They would call out, "Who comes there?" To which the reply would be, "A friend," and then they would be told to advance, friend. So they had their little system, you know, to kind of, you know, not let the ghost past. Do you know what I mean?
And they don't think...
Catch him out, you know?
Yeah, they don't think the ghost would be able to catch on.
Apparently not.
If a ghost is like supposed to be, can be anywhere, can hear anything.
Yeah.
You don't think it'd like catch on to it and start calling back?
You would think.
A friend.
Ooh, friend.
Ooh, friend.
It was while Francis was on patrol that Thomas Millwood, a bricklayer or plasterer by trade, depending on the source, he had just left his parents' home and was on his way back to walk his wife home, fearing that it would not be safe for her to be on her own late at night. And Thomas, he was wearing his usual work clothes, white linen trousers, a white flannel waistcoat, white shoes, and completed with a white apron.
See, right.
Yeah, I know.
If you know that this pissyard's going around with shotguns looking for a ghost wearing white, the last thing I would wear is white.
Yeah, well, Thomas... was reported to have been advised to throw a coat on. Just throw a coat on over your work gear.
I take it he didn't have horns coming out of his head.
No, not so much.
Right. And was he like 7 foot tall?
I'm not sure what his height was, but I wouldn't imagine so.
Right. You see what I'm getting at? I'm just...
No, again, I'm right
there
with you.
Just shot a man in white clothes.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Right.
So obviously we're going to talk about some of the stuff in this case, but I got to be honest with you, it's pretty fucking straightforward to me. You shot someone because you could.
Yeah.
Because you had a gun in your hand.
I'm pissed.
I'm not going to really sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, Francis, who was pissed up and had been out patrolling with a shotgun, waiting for the ghost to appear, he saw Thomas down the dark laneway dressed in all white and mistook him for the ghost. He hoisted his shotgun and shot Thomas in the face. Thomas's sister heard the gunshots from the family's home and ran to check on her brother. Quote, I ran out of the door, and when I got halfway from my father's house to my brother's, I saw my brother laying dead at the gate. I took hold of his right hand and said, speak to me, but he could not, for he was quite dead.
He was quite dead?
He was quite dead. His head was laying towards me as I went up to him.
And then I looked up and there's a man staggering about with a fucking shotgun in his hand.
It's just that quote.
Going, I got the ghost.
It's kind of like, oh my God, could you imagine how she felt in that moment? And then she says he was quite dead.
He was quite dead.
That gets said a lot. So I'm guessing that was kind of more...
quite
just to,
dead.
Just to throw quite in there.
Right.
But it makes it sound almost comedic
sarcastic.
To me. Yeah. Quite dead.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of are, aren't you? You know what I mean? It's one of those situations, you know? Now, apparently, Thomas had twice before been mistaken for the ghost. During one of these incidents, Thomas told him that he was not a ghost, and he also threatened to punch the man in the head. I feel like you and Thomas would have got on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was because of these encounters that his family had advised him to wear a coat over his work clothes while out in public, you know, to avoid being fucking shot in the face
by
a madman. Yes. You know, the thing that really gets me is that people in the 1800s, fucking oddbods. But why would you, you've already said this yourself, why would you think to shoot a ghost?
Yeah.
It just doesn't add up.
Yeah. I think Francis had something against Thomas.
No, apparently not. Even Thomas's family said that. I don't think they were necessarily friends, but they had no issues. There was no kind of quarrels between them. No, that they knew of.
Maybe he wanted a bit of Thomas's wife.
Possibly. Quite an extreme to go to.
That's what I'm here for. I'm here to, you know, look at all angles.
Yes, of course.
So
dissect the case.
So, yeah. That's where I'm at. Francis wanted to have a go on Thomas's wife. Thomas was in the way, so he's like, well, he always wears white. So I'm going to get myself pissed and go out and shoot him and say, oh, sorry, I was pissed. I thought it was a ghost. Case closed. Did Thomas's wife end up with Francis?
No, I do not believe so.
Okay.
So, Francis has shot Thomas in the face.
Mm.
Destroyed his fucking jaw.
He's quite dead.
He's quite dead at this point.
Mm.
And once Francis had realised what he'd done, he did immediately seek assistance. John Locke, a wine merchant, alongside George Stowe and watchman William Girdle, arrived at the scene to find Thomas laid on his back and his body outstretched.
He said, Francis, have another drink.
Well, poor old John and George, they had just been walking home from work that night and, you know, now they're having to deal with this situation. That's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's a bit heartless.
What?
Because you're saying it like I said about car crashes. If you see one, just keep driving. Don't fucking stop. And you're like, oh, they just wanted to walk home and now they have to deal with this. It's like...
Yeah. Neil, there's a bit of a difference between seeing a fucking fender bender and someone's face blown off.
Oh, you mean having to go through it?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you meant like the inconvenience of they just wanted to go home.
I mean, yes, that too. But their inconvenience is seeing a man's face after
decimated,
after being hit with a fucking a blow of a shotgun, compared to you seeing a bumper that's got a scratch on it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have a word with yourself, Neil. Now, once the men told Francis of the consequences of his actions, he wished for the police to be called and for him to be taken into custody. But because Francis was in such an agitated, panicked state, they thought it was best to send him home and then call for the police.
What?
Yeah.
So he walked off with his shotgun?
Yeah. But, I mean, look, it's a small village.
Fuck.
No, I know. Like, to us, it seems crazy. But 1800, small village, everyone knows everyone, where they're staying, you know. They obviously didn't think he was going to run. He said he wanted to hand himself in. He
could blow his own fucking head off.
I mean, he could, but he could do that at the scene as well.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Take the fucking shotgun off
him. But maybe they did.
He's pissed.
I don't. I'm assuming he took his shotgun with him. Maybe he left it there for all I know.
Right.
Really honed in on that bit there, didn't you? Thomas's body was brought to the Black Line Inn for examination, and Francis was later arrested at his lodging for the completely unprovoked murder of Thomas. He later claimed that he had called out to Thomas twice, quote, "Damn you, what are you, or who are you? Tell me, or I'll shoot." Upon receiving no answer, and as Thomas continued to approach, Francis pulled the trigger. Right, so if this is true, I could understand Francis being a bit nervous. If you're calling out someone, they're not responding. I only recently actually had a similar situation where someone proceeded to approach me late at night and they just kept walking towards me, would not respond to me. And that was a scary situation. But in this case, it's completely fucking diminished by the fact that your belief was that it was a ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also,
dilutes it down a bit.
Slightly. A tad. But it's also a very different thing to consider your options, one of them being to cause harm in the name of self-defense, compared to actually doing it, to actually pull the trigger. Francis didn't seem to have much of a problem doing it, which I find incredibly concerning.
Mm.
I know it was the 1800s and people behaved ridiculously, but for fuck's sake, Francis.
Yeah.
Francis was reported to have said himself that he went out that night with good intentions. His intentions were to stop the person who had been posing as a ghost and terrorising the village. Now, if this is true, it sort of flies in the face of him believing it was paranormal. It would mean that he chose to kill a person for acting the Aegis.
Yes.
And I do not see how this can be considered quote-unquote good intentions.
Yes.
That's
what I was thinking straight away when you said that. It's like, okay, so you didn't think he was the ghost. You thought he was the person pretending to be the ghost.
Yeah. So where are we at here?
Shot him point blank in the face with a shotgun.
Where are we at here, Francis?
So you went out with your shotgun to have a couple of bevvies.
With the lads?
With the lads. And then you thought that was justified when you were walking around and you saw it, you thought, is this bastard again trying to wind people up? I'm going to shoot him in the face.
Exactly. And at no point did Francis make any attempt to apprehend this person. He simply went to kill them and then panicked when he realised the severity of what he had done, in my opinion. He thought when he killed this person, because he ran to seek assistance, I don't take that as he was like, oh shit, I've killed someone. I think it was like, I got the fucker. Then when they're like, you know, you've just killed a man.
Yeah.
That's not good. And he's like, oh, fuck.
I thought it was a ghost.
Yeah, this is what I mean. There's that kind of like slight back and forth. Do you believe it's paranormal or do you believe it's someone acting the prick, terrorizing people?
That makes way more sense because, like I said straight away, why would you shoot a ghost?
Yes. That was it. Right. When I first came across this case. So when I first heard of this case, I was actually going to do it for, you know, the bizarre deaths.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, this is its own fucking thing. I'm outraged over this. If this case had taken place in present day, it would be a fucking Florida man story. Do you know what I mean? It's that fucking wild.
Poor Floridans getting it all the time from you.
I mean, they get it from everyone, don't they?
Well, yeah.
Now, this was something I mentioned to you the other day because I don't know much about guns or gunpowder.
Hmm.
It was noted that Thomas's face was, quote, exceedingly black from the gunpowder, and that they would have had to have been close to each other to cause such an effect.
Fucking point blank range.
The point is, he was claiming that it was down a dark alleyway and he kept approaching, right?
Yeah.
He was visible enough for you to tell he was wearing all white.
Mm.
And it was clearly a man. It wasn't like you just heard footsteps, didn't know what was going on. He was close enough for you to tell what he was wearing and to leave that residue. So again, it furthers the kind of narrative that you simply just killed a man.
Yeah.
On the 11th of January, Francis stood trial for the murder of Thomas at the Old Bailey, the famous courthouse where Crippen would later stand trial.
A lot of people did. Old Bailey?
Yeah. That's just because we happened to have covered Crippen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Newgate Calendar wrote at the time of the trial, quote, "Inhabitants were possessed with an opinion that a ghost haunted their neighbourhood. But the fancied spectre was proven to be composed of human flesh and blood, which were unfortunately mangled and shed unto death by the unhappy man whose case is now before us."
Mangled?
Maybe I'm reading too far into it, but I feel like the person who wrote this is a shady bitch, and I love it. Do you know what I mean? It's like they were possessed with the opinion.
Yeah.
I love it. Read to fucking filth. During the trial, Francis had multiple character witnesses, 12 to be exact, and they testified that he was a gentle, mild-mannered man of humanity who certainly was not of a cruel disposition. They also, you know, reinforced the belief that he only went out that night, Neil, with the best of intentions.
But if you knew that's what you were going out to do, why get hammered?
Yeah.
Why'd you get pissed?
I mean, 1800s, you know, I'd say it was probably fairly standard.
Yeah, we were only talking about it, like, this in 1800s.
Yeah.
I'm not that old. Mm. But we were only talking about it the other night at work. Megan thinks that this is bad. What happened when I was a kid? So when I was a little kid, when I was a baby, and I was going through...
A baby?
I was going through croup, and to get me to sleep...
His mother would drug him.
She'd dip me dummy in whiskey
and
let me suck on it and then dip it again until I were out.
Obviously, you guys can't see, but Neil just like dipped his head back and like rolled his eyes in the back of his head to like mimic him passing out as a baby from intoxication.
Yeah, but everyone did it.
And it didn't... I think of that more like my grandparents doing it to my parents. I don't think of our parents doing it to us. I think it was kind of gone out by then.
Oh.
I don't think that's okay.
I think I did it. You know? I think it was whiskey, rum, port.
Basically, whatever was...
Oh, on hand.
Whatever was roamed around the back of the cupboard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But yeah, we were talking about that and you were like, it's fucking disgusting.
I think it's outrageous.
It's neglect.
I think it's not neglect, it's out and out abuse. Put it this way. If we had a baby, would you do that?
Yes.
No, you fucking would not.
And I can tell you now, you would.
No, I wouldn't.
My parents were sleep deprived because of how much I was screaming the house down because of my croup.
Right.
And if you knew that that would put me at ease, you'd do it.
Neil, there's a lot of parents. Every parent is sleep deprived. They don't necessarily drug their children. I like to use the word necessarily.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the trial.
Mm.
The judge reminded the jury that just because Francis may not have shown malice, that didn't change the fact that a murder had occurred. When one of the men who had come to Francis' aid the night of the murder spoke at the trial, he said that he had seen the ghost before himself.
Francis's aid said that.
Francis's aid.
Yeah.
That and night.
Is this another
of the
piss
murder.
Head?
No.
Oh.
Well, it might have been the wine merchant. I mean, if he was dipping into his own stock. Quote, "It had a white sheet or a tablecloth. I cannot say which."
Wait.
Like, I'm sorry, but what are we doing here, lads?
So they're really thinking of like vintage cartoon.
Spooky. Like,
it's just a bed sheet running around.
It's proper like spooky season cutesy ghost vibe
it's
here.
Fucking Laurel and Hardy is what it is.
Really fucking is.
So I say, I heard we have ourselves a great movie.
Audiences are going loony for Coyote versus Acme.
Couldn't agree more.
And critics are calling it a wildly entertaining movie.
I'm here for the in any pantsless modeling gig?
Ingenious.
Exactly.
Chaotic comedy fun.
Exactly.
A family-friendly blockbuster.
Yeah, of course.
And pure movie magic.
Pretty flattering. Think things like this make us look pretty good in the public eye.
Beep, beep.
Coyote versus Acme. Now playing only in theaters. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The coroner described the death as a, quote, rash act of willful murder. And Francis, he did admit that he had killed Thomas. He did not deny it. But he insisted that it was a case of mistaken identity and pleaded not guilty.
If...
yeah.
Right. Willful murder.
Yeah.
And say mistaken identity. Did he look like he was wearing a tablecloth on his head?
I don't give a fuck if he was. Why did you shoot him?
Right. Why aren't people in the court saying, well, what did you think with the horns?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I have some things to say about this trial. I really do.
I bet you fucking do.
Well, I'll tell you what Francis did say at the trial. Quote, "My lord, I went out with a good intention, and when this unhappy affair took place, I did not know what I did. Speaking to the deceased twice, and he not answering, I was much agitated and did not know what I did."
Well, he's not going to fucking answer you. He's dead. Quite dead.
"I solemnly declare my innocence and that I had no intention to take away the life of the unfortunate deceased or any other man whatsoever." It's partially just the language of the time, but it just feels like such an understatement to say, you know, about the murder, shooting someone in the face, you know, describing it as an unhappy affair.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll tell you what we have a case of here. We have a case of cold-blooded murder. Done.
Well, don't worry. The judge was kind of, you know, seemingly, you know, veering more towards our opinion here.
Mm.
He was reported to have said to the jury, quote, "However disgusted the jury might feel in their own minds with the abominable person guilty of the misdemeanor of terrifying the neighborhood, still the prisoner had no right to construe such misdemeanor into a capital offense or to conclude that a man dressed in white was a ghost. In this case, there was a deliberate carrying of a loaded gun, which the prisoner concluded he was entitled to fire, but which he really was not. And he did fire it with a rashness which the law does not excuse. In all circumstances of the case, no man is allowed to kill another rashly. I couldn't have put it better myself."
Yeah, like, I don't know why there's all this fucking back and forth. We're talking about a man who went to the fucking pub, got fucking pissed, went out with a shotgun and shot a fucking man point blank in the face with a shotgun.
Exactly. The judge made a point of how even if it had been this Hammersmith ghost that Francis had seen, all this alleged ghost had done was be a nuisance. There was absolutely, without question, no reason for him to have been carrying a gun and certainly no reason to fire it.
Well, in what they believe, the ghost wasn't just been a nuisance. It was grabbing people by the throat, allegedly.
Yeah, but in the eyes of the law, they didn't have anything they could charge the... this is ridiculous. They didn't have anything they could charge this ghost with.
Yeah.
You know, he hadn't done anything severe enough. It was being worded as a nuisance.
Yeah.
You know, a menace kind of thing. Now, the jury had more sympathy for Francis than I did, than yourself, or the judge. And after about 45 minutes, they returned a verdict that he was guilty, but of manslaughter. Now, the problem here was that that wasn't the fucking question that was put to them, and they were instructed to go back and reconsider.
Yeah.
Their only options were to either find Francis guilty of murder or not guilty and allow him to walk free after murdering a man.
They let him walk free.
Following this incompetent jury being put in their place by the judge, they then returned a verdict of guilty.
Oh, okay.
Francis was convicted for the willful murder of Thomas. He was sentenced to death by hanging, and following his execution, his body was then to be sent to a medical college for dissection. As the sentence was read, Francis was said to have sank into a state exceeding despair. Now, I'm delighted with that.
Mm.
I 100%, you know, whatever about the death penalty, believe he should have been found guilty.
Should have been. Yeah, but it should have been firing squad by pissheads with shotguns.
Bit of the old tit for tit.
Yeah.
Well, not everyone felt the same way as us. There was quite a lot of people who were actually of a similar opinion to the jury. There was a great deal of sympathy for Francis, and the public outcry at his sentence was enormous. And just over 3 weeks following the murder, not even the trial, the murder, on the 25th of January, Francis was pardoned and his sentence was commuted to a year's hard labour.
What?
Yeah.
They should have hanged a lot of them. That's what, they'd soon shut up then.
I think it's absolutely insane.
Grab the ringleader of the protests, hang him, because this is the 1800s, hang him and go, carry on? Are you done?
Mm.
Do you still think we was unfair?
Maybe a bit severe, but no. I take your point.
They've let a murderer free.
Yeah, they have, yeah.
Did they take his gun off him?
Well, I don't know. Probably not.
So he killed a man in cold blood.
He did, yeah.
Went to trial, then got pardoned to do a year's hard labour.
Yeah, which is no picnic, but...
It's better than fucking getting unbeat neck.
Could you imagine a year's hard labour in the early 1800s?
Oh, give a fuck. But, and then let him off with a shotgun. And this ghost is still about.
Why is that like the issue for you?
Because he could shoot someone else, nah? Oh, I thought it was, because the ghost, it's still a ghost. I thought it was the ghost. I've only had 5 whiskies. Could have sworn that was a ghost.
Yeah. But the issue was him being free. Like, he could kill someone, you know, a variety of different ways. It's the issue with him being free, no? You seem more upset about the shotgun. Would you be okay with him being free if he was never allowed near a firearm again?
Well, no, he should have been hung bit fucking neck.
I think he's a fucking madman.
Yeah. He's a nut.
Well, the thing is, Neil, I hate to say it, but that's kind of the end of the case, really. Like, there's not much to report. Thomas lost his life. And Francis got on with his. But this murder did go on to have an effect on the law in the UK. It raised the question, if a person acted on their belief, even if they wrongly believed, can that then be used as a defence? It was in 1984, 180 years later, that a decision was made in the Court of Appeal. Quote, in a case of self-defence, where self-defence or the prevention of crime is concerned, if the jury came to the conclusion that the defendant believed, or may have believed, that he was being attacked or that a crime was being committed, and that force was necessary to protect himself or to prevent the crime, then the prosecution have not proven their case. If, however, the defendant's alleged belief was mistaken, and if the mistake was an unreasonable one, that may be a peaceful reason for coming to the conclusion that the belief was not honestly held and should be rejected. Even if the jury come to the conclusion that the mistake was an unreasonable one, if the defendant may genuinely have been labouring under it, he is entitled to rely upon it.
Self-defence from a ghost? By using a shotgun?
Yeah.
I'll say that again. Self-defence from a ghost?
Yeah. Now, look it. I understand what they're saying. There was room there in the law that it needed to be discussed. Something needed to be figured out. It's just wild that this is the case that went on to affect the law.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Like, sorry.
Back to stranger than fiction, do you know what I mean?
Something else that's just popped into my head. Question I've got for you. So when we first started the podcast, there was an episode what you did on gibbets. And in that episode, you talked about this fucking chair.
Yeah.
This haunted chair that if someone sat in it, they died.
Yeah, can I just make a point? Like, it's a load of fucking bullshit. I literally included that for you.
Yeah.
Who likes ghost stuff.
It's bullshit, but if you believe that, why fucking sit in it?
Yeah.
Why are you sitting in the fucking chair?
Yeah. Well, in that case, I believe they had like nailed it to the wall because they're like, oh, there's been too many incidents.
They'll still climb up the fucking wall to sit in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, any of these things you have, all these occurrences, line them up. I'll do them all for you now and debunk every single fucking one of them. I'll take the bullet, but after this case, that's not funny.
Well,
can't
no,
say that.
It's not.
No, no.
That was a buckshot.
What?
What?
Hmm? Anyway, what I'm saying is the murder of Thomas would go on to set the legal basis for self-defense in the UK.
On ghosts? So
no, self-defense.
Right.
As a whole.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, are you ready for the kicker?
There's another kicker.
You're getting kicked in the bollocks repeatedly with this case. It was later revealed that the Hammersmith ghost was a prank which a local shoemaker named John Graham had been playing on his apprentice. Got a bit out of hand, didn't it? For fuck's sake, John, what were you doing?
Shoe was on the other foot.
Very good. I'll tell you the reason how this came about. John had been playing this prank on his apprentices because they had scared his children with ghost stories and he decided to teach them a lesson. Neil, what's your opinion on this?
I've done it. You know?
Pretended to be a ghost and accidentally got another man killed.
Well, no, not got another man killed. So I did it where there was someone we used to work with. He was a cleaner. He's not working there anymore. And, you know, I'd always be worried about going in the toilets stuff like that. So I got my Bluetooth speaker and I was at work before him and switched it on, connected my phone to it, and I left it at the end of the toilets. Waited for him to go in and he was cleaning and I started playing spooky noises and screams and shit. And he wasn't amused. There was another time I scared him with a skeleton. Made the skeleton look around the corner.
Mm.
Yeah. It's good times.
You know what's funny about that?
Mm.
I do not believe in ghosts. I would go as far as to say I think it's, now, ready for this word, preposterous.
Right.
To believe in it.
Okay.
But I never want to... You know, you believe in spirits or energy or something there, yeah?
Yeah.
I never want to be disrespectful to you or what you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
But I find it hilarious that you do believe in it and then you would try and scare someone else who does believe in it as well.
No, but I don't believe in the shit he believed.
No, but I think
he'd be Francis with a fucking shotgun.
To me, this is a yes or no. You believe in it or you don't. From my standpoint...
Yeah.
You do or you don't.
Well, that's your ignorance.
Well, I'm actually going to talk about that. We're going to mention a bit about that.
Right.
Okay. Now, to do with John, that's kind of what I was asking your opinion on. Not ghosts in general and whatever.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that thinks he should have been punished for pushing this narrative. Yeah?
Yeah.
But then I think... It was a prank revolving around a fucking ghost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, he shouldn't be done for it.
How in the name of fuck was poor old John to know that some fucking lunatic was going to kill someone over it?
No, fully agree.
I believe people should be punished severely for pranks if it results in harm or what have you. I fucking hate pranks. I always say, and this is going to be unpopular with some listeners, I'm sure, it's the mark of an idiot.
Yeah.
That's what I always say.
Yeah, I think you've said it before, haven't you?
How many pranks have resulted in, you know, deaths? Never mind just harming someone, whether it's traumatizing them or physically harming them, but it's resulted in fucking deaths. You did an episode about it on Patreon.
I did.
I don't think it's fucking funny, and I don't understand why. And, you know, me personally, I've always said to Neil, because you like a prank, I've always said to you, don't prank me, right? Yeah. And if you do, be prepared because I will come back at you tenfold.
Yeah, what Megan thinks is justified if I like, say if I was to do something like put cling film on the toilet so she pissed all over herself, she would come out and smash my laptop up. Like,
I would, right? And I know, I know it's severe and I know it sounds fucking mental
just
to say that,
yeah? Just
go and
take a brick to my car.
Yeah, I would, yeah. Well, not the car because you also give me lifts, so, you know, I wouldn't really have,
yeah,
be, you know, best idea. The reason why, I'm not saying it's justified, but the reason why I react so severe and I say this to you is because if you're going to be so fucking ignorant to disrespect my wishes, you know, I'm not infringing upon you by what I'm asking. All I'm asking you is to not do this to me. And if you have that little respect for a person, I'm like, ah, fuck it. It doesn't really, you deserve what you get in that situation. I'm not going to physically harm you or anything like that, but I'm going to teach you a lesson.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think you know that. You always say, it's so funny. You always say about me, oh, you're so kind. You're so sweet. You're a lovely person.
Yeah, you are.
But once you get pushed too far,
yeah,
I fucking unleash.
Yes,
I'll give you a million and one chances. It's that one too far. And pranks for me is that thing. I'll let you know. Do not involve me.
Yeah.
As soon as you do, oh. To be fair, you haven't. You've never done a prank on me. You've respected my wishes.
I jump out of you.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Bit weird, isn't it?
During the night.
Yeah, you go for real cheap ones.
Yeah.
On like a night shift, you'll like jump out at me. And the odd time you've got a jump, I'll be like, it's cheap one, isn't it? You're like, yeah. You know, you don't quite get the joy from it, do you?
No.
Now, anyway, according to findagrave.com, Thomas was laid to rest at the Trinity Baptist Chapel before later being reinterred at Brookwood Cemetery in Surrey. And this was the same cemetery where William Harrison was initially buried.
Who?
William Harrison, the soldier.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That bastard.
That's the one. Now, you would think that with all we've talked about, you know, the senseless killing of a man, the nearly 200 years of debating back and forth in the courts, that Thomas Millwood would finally be able to rest.
You'd think. Go on.
Instead, they now say that his ghost roams the Black Lion pub.
Fuck's sake. Do you know when you said Francis were going to get hanged?
Yeah.
That's what went through. Before you said he got pardoned, that's what went through my head. People are going to say he's haunting.
Yeah, that. Now. I mean, that would be fucking stupid in my opinion, but I'd be like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
But are you seriously doing this to Thomas? Are you really doing that? The landlord, Kevin Sheehy, said, quote, "We do have some strange goings on in the pub. The chef lives upstairs and has been woken up half a dozen times by someone speaking his name, but there was no one there."
Kevin Sheehy?
Yeah.
Are you taking the piss? Sheehy.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Sheehy.
What's wrong with that name?
Well, it's a bit odd, isn't it?
Not really.
It's two descriptive words put together.
First of all, it's not. And second, it's not an unusual name. You live in Ireland, for fuck's sake.
Is Sheehy Irish?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry for the disrespect.
The pub also displays a plaque which reads, quote, "The Black Lion, formerly known as the Black Lion." Spelled Y.
What?
Yeah, what's wrong with that? Why do you have such an issue with everything today?
Did you change the spelling?
Yes. It's now spelled Black Lion, lion like the animal.
Yeah.
And it was previously spelled lion like lion's tea.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, the Black Lion, formerly known as the Black Lion, a public house has stood on this site for well over 200 years. Originally a piggery, it is reputed that the pig farmer started brewing beer for himself and his friends. This proved so popular that it overtook his agricultural interests as his main occupation. So a little bit of a backstory, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But the inscription continues to say, quote, "The Hammersmith ghost started haunting Black Lion Lane and St. Paul's Churchyard in 1804. One night, an excise officer, Francis Smith, filled his blunderbuss with shot and himself with ale before killing an unfortunate white-clothed bricklayer, Thomas Millwood, whom he had mistaken for the ghost. It was at the Black Line that the body was taken and an inquest held later.
That is actually a question I've got. Why is a bricklayer wearing white?
I kept reading that it was what they wore at the time. But I thought that too.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
When I tried to look it up, I couldn't find anything. Nothing was coming up for me
right.
of the clothing. But yeah, it was said that that was common workwear for that trade at the time.
Huh.
So basically, with what the Black Lion pub is trying to claim, if I was to believe in ghosts, this is kind of a blue whale situation. There was no Hammersmith ghost to begin with, but because of certain people's actions, you've forced it into existence.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
And now you've got Thomas as well.
No, that's my point.
Yeah, oh, okay.
There was no Hammersmith ghost. And again, if you're to believe in all this shite, there is now a Hammersmith ghost.
Yeah.
The thing is, you know, I'm sure some of you guys believe in whether it be ghosts, spirits, or, you know, maybe sort of a residual energy. That would be the theory I would be most open to.
Mm.
And I don't mean to be disrespectful to you or your beliefs, but I personally find what they're doing in this pub insanely disrespectful. And it's just a fucking money-making racket.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And this is just in reference to people I know who believe in ghosts. They tend to be more naive or gullible, who, if you are skeptical, they adopt this sort of holier-than-thou approach where they have this ability and you just don't understand it. You said it to me earlier. You know, it's a very common thing. Again, from my experience of speaking to people, it's kind of like this arrogance about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, like I said, don't fucking come at me. That is just going off the people I know. What the fuck do I know? Maybe they do have paranormal powers and I'm just one of the ignorant ones. But the thing is, I've never heard them make a compelling argument and they always seem to want me to disprove it rather than they being the ones to prove it. Do you know what I mean? The burden is always placed back on me as the non-believer rather than them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just, to me, I can't understand how that's a thing. But yeah, that is the murder of Thomas Millwood, also known as the Hammersmith Ghost murder case. Neil, any thoughts?
Fucking crackers. Mm. A lot of it.
I think something that does need noting, you know, we kind of mentioned it in the episode. I don't believe in ghosts. I'm more the type I need evidence, proof, something tangible. Neil is more of a I know what I feel type of person, would you say?
Yeah. Like, this with ghosts grabbing your fucking neck and stuff like that. No, shut up. They scratched me. No, they fucking didn't. You scratched yourself.
Yeah.
Or you hit off a wall or something. For me, like, I think if there is something, it's like recycled fucking...
Yeah, residual energy type of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do think that although you believe in... you know, a spirit or an energy or, you know, what have you.
Mm.
I do think that you've become a lot more skeptical or, you know, maybe critical over the years. Or maybe I've just broken your spirit over time.
Yeah.
But I do think that's good. You know, you may have had experiences that you believe to be paranormal, but you're a lot quicker to attempt to debunk something now than just believe it, which to me is just the logical thing to do.
Mm.
You know? Also, I mean, in saying this, I never want to downplay what someone feels they have experienced, but I also think people who believe in ghosts can be a bit, you know, rude to people who don't. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I also find it strange, again, like I said, the burden of proof is always to lay with me or, you know, somebody who doesn't believe, yet you're the one who'll get snotty with me for not blindly believing what you say.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't really make sense. And I feel like for some reason when it comes to paranormal, that's just accepted behavior. I really don't understand it. Also, something else, like you've just mentioned that, you know, the scratches and all that, right? Let's say ghosts are flying about the gaff. Why is it often considered to be scary or potentially dangerous? It's not like they're going to be able to hurt you unless you believe in that, you know, kind of Ghost Adventures 3 scratches, yeah. Mark of the Beast type shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, it's often people who believe in ghosts who are the ones shitting themselves. Surely in that situation, it would be me scared, not them. I'm the one whose entire belief system will be crashing down around me. You, the believer, is being validated.
It's actually a really good point.
Yeah. Also, this is no shade to anyone, right? Because I know a lot of podcasts combine the two, right? Hmm. But why is paranormal and true crime always linked? I don't mean it, you know, again, because there's a lot of wonderful podcasts who cover both.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's... You do you. If you love those two topics, that's great. But I'm not quite sure how that came to be, that it's kind of expected. I've had people multiple times suggest paranormal to me. And I'm sorry, lads, I'm not going to cover paranormal generally as a topic. I might throw something in now and then for the laugh, or because I know Neil enjoys paranormal content.
Mm.
But it's, you know what I mean? It's not factual.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not something we can really do. But yeah, sorry, lads. I'm never going to cover paranormal unless it's, you know, something like this where paranormal came in to an actual murder. Or, you know, I throw in the odd thing for Neil just so we can have a laugh, because I know he enjoys paranormal content. Mm. But yeah, it's not my scene. I don't believe in it. Yeah. Not for me.
So, oddity.
Oddity. The amputated penis.
I wondered how long now, it'd fucking take you.
This is it. You stood in my way long enough.
Yeah.
I'm back on my bullshit. In November of 1999 in North Texas, a 67-year-old man named Herschel Rawls was in the hospital to undergo surgery. The surgery that Herschel was to undergo was a cystectomy, the removal of his bladder due to cancer. As Herschel came to following the surgery, his wife was sitting by his side, holding his hand.
Oh.
She told him, quote, "Honey, it's over. They got all the cancer, but they had to remove your penis."
I thought you were going to say she was holding his penis.
No. What, like just in a napkin or...
I didn't know.
Like a takeaway box or something.
Sat by the side of him holding his... And I thought you were going to say his prick.
No.
Right. Okay, so...
They got the cancer.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
But when Herschel found out what they had done to him, he said, quote, "I was one mad dude, you know."
What?
Yeah. He was one mad dude, you know.
Meaning what?
He was mad that they had stolen his penis.
Oh, right. I thought he meant... When I had my penis, I was a mad dude. Like,
no.
I got a bat.
No, when they found out what they'd after done to him.
Right, okay.
Yes. Neil, what would you do in the situation? You've gone in for a procedure and they steal your penis.
I'd say I want it back. Like, I know, but there was a guy walking around with a prick on his forearm.
Mm.
I want that.
You want his?
No.
Oh, you want the same treatment?
Yeah.
Yes.
I can have a penis.
Mm. Well, Herschel went a different way and he decided to sue the bastards. The case went to court in 2003 and he was seeking $5 million. The two doctors who were charged with negligence and not seeking prior consent for amputation refused to admit to any wrongdoing.
Well, look. What is he in his 60s, did you say?
Yeah, he's 67.
Yeah, so he's past his prime.
Like, Neil.
What?
It's his penis. If he wants his penis, you should let him have his penis.
Well, I've noticed his wife's very quiet, so she's not that bothered.
Oh, she is. She's on the same page as him.
Oh, she's like, give him his dick back.
Where's his penis gone?
Right, okay.
Yes.
Oh, so maybe they are still like it.
Well... Now, the doctor's claim was that Herschel had been notified about the possibility of them lobbing his knob off and that they had seen tissue which indicated that the cancer had spread from the bladder to his urethra.
Right.
Right? Now, They had not sent samples to the lab, but a pathology test after the removal indicated that Hershey's penile tissue was not cancerous. Yeah. So they're just kind of eyeballing it. You know what I mean?
Okay, sue the bastards.
Yeah. So, you know, that would be horrific enough, but the fact that he and his wife claim that they had never been spoken with about the possibility, that's particularly shocking to me. It's taking away consent and dignity from a patient. Now, in the end, they came to an undisclosed settlement amount, and his attorney maintained that, quote, Mr. Rawls was never informed that he was going to wake up and not have a penis. I personally think he should have got the full $5 million.
Yeah. No, I do.
You cut off his prick.
Yeah. His manhood.
I think this is outrageous. And then after finding out the test results that there was no reason to.
Yeah. That's when I changed my mind.
It was fine before.
Yeah, because I just took it as it was part of like the cancer.
Yeah.
Get rid of everything.
You actually, for once, put your faith in the doctors.
Yeah.
And look where it got you.
Yeah.
Bit you in the prick.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he should, 100% he should have got the $5 million. His poor wife. What's she going to do now? You know, she's gonna get mad every time someone tells her to go fuck herself. She's going to be like, well, what else can I do?
It's actually quite poor taste. I believe Herschel has since passed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well done, Neil. Brought the tone down yet again.
We have ourselves a great movie.
Audiences are going loony for Coyote versus Acme.
Couldn't agree more.
And critics are calling it a wildly entertaining movie.
I'm here for the innie and any pantsless modeling gig.
Ingenious.
Exactly.
Chaotic comedy fun.
Exactly.
A family-friendly blockbuster.
Yeah, of course.
And pure movie magic.
Pretty flattering. Think things like this make us look pretty good in the public eye.
Beep, beep.
Coyote versus Acme. Now playing only in theaters. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.